Okay. Well, the question is, will you be the one? Just like Mikey was the one today. Will you be the one? And that's what I'm talking about today. Today's portion begins Devarim, which means words in Hebrew. It's the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy. These are actually the words of Moses. Now, Deuteronomy is a Greek word that actually means second law, second law. And the question is why is there a second law? Thought there was only one law, right? But what's the story on the second law? It's because this is a repeat performance for Israel and Moses. It's the next generation. Because what happened was, in the first generation, which met with Moses at Mount Sinai, they're mostly gone now. Most of them have perished and so forth. Because the book of Deuteronomy is actually 40 years after the Mount Sinai experience. And the question is what happened to the first generation? Because God said that he was promising them the promised land, to go into the land flowing with milk and honey and so on and so forth, all these wonderful promises. But now they're on the edge of the promised land in the book of Deuteronomy, and they're gone. What happened? Quite frankly, they blew it. They just blew it. I don't know if you've ever heard, I'm sure many of you have heard, that people have said, well, you know, I'll believe in God if I see a miracle. Well, the first generation that was with Moses, they saw all the miracles. Think about it. They saw the plagues. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw water come out of a rock. They saw all kinds of wild things. But it ultimately didn't help them at all. And in fact, what we have in the Torah after the Red Sea experience is there's 20 recorded events after the Red Sea where Israel rebelled against the Lord before you get to the book of Deuteronomy. And it ranged from complaining about the lack of water and food to the building of the golden calf. There's a whole range of things in there that happens and so on. And finally, the Lord said, that's it. It's enough already. It's over. You know, most of us, I think a lot of us like to think about God as, oh, he's a loving God. He'll go to the ends of the earth. And yes, he will. But quite frankly, the Lord is not a patsy. In other words, the Lord does not have unlimited patience with people. There's a limit. Because really what God, the business that God is in, he's in the business of transformation. That's what he's really looking to do. And if folks refuse the transformation power of God, they're going to lose out and they're going to lose it completely. God was trying to transform Israel from being a body of slaves into a holy and model nation. And it takes, for this group, it required a transformation of a mindset, of attitudes, of experiences, and of expectations. In fact, the whole Israel experience, this first generation, reminds me of my next door neighbor's dog. And we have this neighbor who had at one time an electric fence around the property for this dog. And so, you know, the dog got zapped enough times so he knew that he couldn't cross the boundary line and so on. Now, he's a really nice dog, very kind, and so on. And finally, the electric fence broke at some point, and it hasn't been restored since. It's been like a couple of years since this electric fence is in operation. And so sometimes I'm working in the yard, and I'm near the dog, and so I'll call the dog over. I say, come on, Yaz. And he comes up close to the boundary line, and then he starts whimpering. You know, it starts kind of falling over and everything else. And so I keep beckoning him into it, but he won't come. And even though there's nothing there, because in a sense, he's in bondage, because he has this fear of crossing the boundary, which doesn't even exist anymore. But because of his experiences in the past, he can't cross over. And so the question is, the only way he could cross over is if he believed me over his past experiences of getting shocked and so forth. And I have to be honest, I never beckoned him when the electric fence was there, you know. Oh, come on over here, you know, and stuff like that. Now, I didn't do that. But so the question is he going to believe me or is he going to just hold on? Now, there's an interesting, so in other words, going back to the Israelites, the first generation saw what the Lord had done and so on. But they were never transformed. God worked with them. He cajoled them, he forgave them, but they were never transformed. In fact, there's an interesting midrash in the New Testament on this whole occasion, on this experience. And this is what it says in the book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 3, verse 7. It says this. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now, what is the rest that the Lord's talking about here in verse 11? It's the promised land. That's the rest for the Israelites. In other words, God had promised on Mount Sinai to the Israelites that they would be a holy nation, they would be a kingdom of priests. But you realize that the Mount Sinai experience, where the revelation of God's plan for the Israelites occurred, was outside the promised land. It was either in the Sinai desert or it was in the Arabian Peninsula, wherever it was, but it was not in the promised land. Because to get into the promised land, they needed to experience a transformation. They needed to be holy before they got in there because God wanted them to be a holy nation. The problem was is that they weren't willing to shed the slave mentality of the experience from the past to get into the promised land. See, God had promised them that they would be a head and not the tail, that they would be a creditor and not a debtor. The problem was is that slaves are accustomed to being the tail, and they can never get over that experience. So what's the key? What's the key to this whole thing? The question is really, is how are we transformed? How is a person really transformed? And it says this back in the Hebrews 3 passage, verses 7 and 8. It says again, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Did you know that God's covenant with Israel is centered on proper hearing? In other words, the covenant that God made with Israel is based on hearing. How do I know that? Shema Yisrael, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In other words, Israel's covenant was based on proper hearing. That was the key, hearing and responding. Later on, God's judgment is made clearly through the prophet Isaiah, where he says this, be ever hearing but not understanding. In other words, in the modern vernacular, it's like where we can say to somebody that it's in one ear and out the other. That's what happens to people and so forth. A transformation occurs when we hear and we respond. That's when transformation occurs. Now, let me just mention briefly about Yeshua's parable of the sower and the seed. Because in this particular case, the sower and the seed, it's a story about hearing and responding. The sower and the seed, it's a story of a farmer who goes out and he throws some seed around to plant. Some of the seed, it says, falls on the road, the roadway, and the birds come and they take the seed away. In the second case, some of the seed falls into some shallow ground, and so the seed germinates, it grows up, but because it's shallow, the sun bakes it and it withers and dies. The third case of the seed is it falls into a little thicker area, but it falls into a group of weeds. And so what happens is the plant germinates again, grows up, weeds choke it out. In the fourth case, the seed falls out into the fertile ground, thick fertile ground, rich ground, and so it plants itself, it goes deep, and then it grows and multiplies in fruit 100 times over. What's the point of all this? Yeshua is making a parable, he's making an analogy, and he's saying that the seed is like the word of God. And so what happens is the word is spoken to some people and they hear it. God's words are spoken and they hear it, but they don't really respond. And so the enemy comes and takes it away. There's no growth whatsoever. In the second case, it's sometimes God's word falls on people and they respond with interest and they respond quickly. But what happens is offenses come or persecutions and then it withers up and it dies and so on. In other cases, it falls out into an area, people receive God's word and so on, but the cares of the world, the anxieties of the activities of the world come in and they choke it out and it doesn't ever grow. And then there's other people who hear God's word, something is pricked inside their hearts, and they respond with overflowing and they grow and they're transformed and so on. Now I've seen all four in my years here. By the way, this is my 18th year here. This year and so on. So the year of the Chai, 18 years. And I've seen all four responses to the words that are spoken here week after week. I've seen many visitors. We get visitors every week here, many times many visitors and so on. And I've often heard them say, there's something here, but they don't follow through. Nothing ever happens to them. It's the way it is. I've seen new folks get plugged in here. They're all excited. Wow, this is a great place, you know. I mean, this is wild and it's joyful and so on. And they get plugged in. And so what happens? They meet other people. They get offended because everybody offends everybody else. That's just the way it is. They get offended. Maybe a little persecution from the mainstream community. Boom, they're out of here. It's just like that. Can't handle it anymore. And then, of course, I've seen many, you know, because we all live in an American society that's entrenched in materialism and work, 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 and I got to have as many products as possible, and I got to have new little gizmos like this little microphone that I'm wearing here, oops, and other things like that. So we got to have the newest thing going around. And so what happens is the materialism and all the time that's spent in acquiring goods chokes out the words of God and so on, and we're not transformed. But I've also met many people who have actually heard God's words here. They've been transformed by the power of God because the words of God penetrate into our hearts and our response to us. My question to you as I close today is this. What is God saying to you during this time? What is he speaking to you in this service? I believe everybody's been touched here at some level, no matter who you are and so on. Maybe he's saying to you that, you know, Yeshua is the Messiah. You need to respond to that. Whether you're a Jew or not, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. You need to respond to that fact and at least investigate it. Don't just throw it off. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you over a period of time about needing to keep his commandments more, needing to be more serious about the Sabbath day, the Shabbat, a day of rest, not a day of, oh, I'm going to come rush in here, worship the Lord, and then I'm going to go out and spend money in the mall and eat the restaurants and spend money, blah, 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 and so on, mow the lawn and so on like on Saturdays. That's not what it's all about. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you about being a little bit more ethical in your business practices, treating your employees right, and so forth. Maybe not being honest in business and so forth, and being forthright in everything that you do. Maybe the Lord has been telling you that you have a lying problem, and you've been running from it, and we lie because of insecurity. I can tell you an interesting story. A friend of mine, I've shared this before. He was a roommate of mine in college. He became a believer in our senior year, And we all worked together one summer, and I noticed a few of us who were working together, we noticed that he would tell these stories, but some of the things just didn't match up, and we were wondering, what's going on here? And so we began to be convinced that maybe this guy had a serious problem of being a real liar and so forth. And so a few of us prayed. We didn't want to confront him. We weren't sure and so on. And then about a year later, he left. He went to graduate school, and then he came back after his first year, and he sought me out. Because he went to the West Coast, he came back here and he said, "Jamie," he said, "I need to confess that I've had a serious lying problem all my life." He said, "But God really convicted me that I need to come clean." And I mean, he lied about everything. He lied about his past. He lied about everything. I mean, you know, it's like he was a completely different person. But the point was, he heard the voices of the Lord. He heard the voice of the Lord, God's words, and he responded properly. Maybe you need to be honest about your addictions, because people have addictions in this life. Whether it's alcohol or drugs or gambling or sex or food and so on. And maybe you need to be honest about them and then do something about it by responding and helping God to transform your life, getting the help that you need and so forth. When you respond, you will be transformed and then you will be the one. Now, what I'd like to do is to close today a special dedication for Mikey. And also for those who want to be the one. And so this little song was originally written by McDonald Netsky, and it's called "Will You Be the One?" You're the one. You are the only reason. You're the one. I sure hope you're leaving the fruitless past behind, because you will find for those who mind him, you're the one. If you go out on his limb, you're the one. By refusing every whim, yes, believe him now and take his vows, and you will see his victory. Yes, you're the one, the very one that God chose to reveal his son. Yes, you are the one. Amen.